Lowe's has the Labor Day deals you need to give your home a new look. Buy one, get one free select interior paint via Visa gift card rebate. Then, add the final touch with 2 for $8 on select 2.5 or 3-quart mums. Refresh your home and save big while doing it. Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 9-3. Mums offer in-store only. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. More terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for details.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
I'm Holly.
And I'm Bridget.
And this
is Girls Next Level.
Welcome back to Girls Next Level podcast, you guys. Bridget, I have to ask you, have you been a victim of the Instagram location update?
Okay, so I've gotten tons of warning on this, but I never update my stuff when it comes up. Like, I wait. Like, unless I have to.
Oh, so you think it's not even working on yours
yet? I don't think it's working because as soon as I saw this, I was like, oh my God. And I ran to Instagram and I can't find it anywhere on my Instagram. And I even followed like the instructions that people said. Oh. And I don't even have that on mine.
Yeah, it shows up when you tap the heart, the like section. And you know how it has the notes on top? Like, yeah. Your friends will put like a little note and you see their bubble. It was a bubble up there that's like a world.
Oh,
you would have seen that.
I don't have that yet. And then I went and I checked and I do have an update for Instagram. And I was like, nah, I'm not going to do it.
You still haven't updated Twitter.
And then I went and turned off my location on my entire phone just to be safe.
No, that's what you have to do. You have to go into settings and then go to Instagram and turn off the location services, which is, I did that. But you will also show up on the map, or your post will show up on the map if you put a location on the post. But that's fine because usually you're not doing it in real time. Like, if I posted a reel that was at the Westgate when we went to that Elvis thing and I posted Westgate, that'll show up on the map. But it's a week later, so yeah. I don't care. So I was getting all these messages from you guys, and thank you for your concern, but it's not real-time stuff. So just to put everybody at ease.
Yeah.
Can I just say I despise the way, I know this is old news, but I despise the way the Instagram feed is these days. How it used to be just people you followed in chronological order. And now it's just like they're suggesting dumb shit to you. And I hate it. It's turning into Facebook AI slop memes.
Oh, yeah. So I used to try and keep how many people I was following down to a minimum because I do try to like keep track and like everybody's stuff and everything. But now it's just so filled with all this other stuff. I feel like I'm scrolling for days just to find like my friends' things. And I just give up sometimes. I'm like, forget it. It's too much stuff.
Yeah.
Like, I try to get to that little end part where it's like, oh, you're all caught up.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I can't even get there. It takes too long.
Yeah. I do love Instagram as a platform just because my friends are more on that one.
Yeah.
Than all the others. It's more consistent that way. And I feel like their views for reels are more consistent than TikTok. TikTok will like put you in jail one day and decide you're not getting any views for like, you know, it's so annoying. So that's what I like about it. And like the guy I like is on there. So we're always like responding to each other's stories and stuff like that. So that's fun. But the feed itself kills me. I should just stop scrolling the feed part and just do stories and stuff. And I don't even really like looking at reel. I like posting reels because, like I said, it's more consistent views and stuff like that. But even like going through reels, it's just like a day late and a dollar short compared to TikTok. It's just that the algorithm isn't as good. And I also somehow ended up on like billionaire feed where they're feeding you all these facts about billionaires and like this person sold this company at this age and this person. So, and even though I know those are all outlier stories, I'm looking at it in my feed and it makes me feel like every single human being on the face of the earth is making $1 billion a day. And it makes me feel like I'm in the wrong line of work. What am I doing wrong? Why haven't I figured out my shit yet? And it's just like not healthy.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like you could look at that and be like, oh, inspiring. Look at all these ways you can make money. Like, this is so bountiful, but it doesn't hit me that way.
Yeah. I know what you mean. Sometimes there's a weird balance. Like, you want to be inspired, but at the same time, you don't want to feel bad about yourself that you're not doing enough or haven't done enough.
Yeah. You know what was so sweet that somebody did for me? There's this woman named Kelly who's a Dallas Cowboy Cheerleaders alumni. And she went to one of like the meet and greet things because you can go and you can like take like kids, you know, and stuff to like meet the new team. And Rainbow loves Charlie, the redhead from the show.
Yeah.
And she got Charlie to say, hi, Rainbow. Thanks for watching the show. And I just want to say thank you to Kelly because Rainbow loved it. She was so like, I wasn't with her the day I got it. So I sent it to her and she was like, oh my God.
That's so fun. So,
thank you, Charlie. And thank you, Kelly. It was so sweet.
That's cool.
Yeah. So I'm excited for tomorrow because tomorrow we're going around LA and we're going to be filming like some little things for our Patreon because Patreon's doing this fun promo and stuff. And we're going to revisit Trashy Lingerie, which we haven't been there in so long. I'm excited to see what Halloween costumes they're doing this year.
I am too. I hope we get inspired. I hope we find some good stuff.
Me too, because I'm not inspired for Halloween this year. How are you costume-wise? Do you know what you're going
to
do?
No. And that's really like frustrating to me. I didn't do the Elvira last year and I'm thinking, can I do it this year?
Oh, did you reach out to Cassandra?
No.
You should do it.
I know. I want to.
Time's a wasting.
I know. I really want to do it. So maybe I can get that together this year. Last year I was supposed to do it and then she had like a commitment thing that she had to go do and we weren't able to do it last second, but I'm hoping maybe we can fit it in this year.
Well, Halloween's her busy season, so I feel like I feel like if it doesn't work out this year, do it in February for next year.
That's true.
Because seriously, I bet it's hard for her to find time, honestly. Yeah, I don't know. I'm a little slow on Halloween this year just because, like, with my recent breakup, it's kind of, like, turned me off to, like, anything.
Ugh, I hate ghost
Halloween.
This.
I hate it. I'll get back to it, but, yeah. but I'm not, like, super inspired on Halloween outfits. I have a couple ideas, but nothing super strong. And I always like to do more than one costume every year. So I'm definitely looking for ideas.
Yeah, me too.
And then we have a couple, like, we're going to go somewhere for lunch and somewhere for dinner that are like cute vintage places that I've never been. So I'm so excited to do it.
I'm excited for it too. It's going to be really fun.
Yeah. And those should be up on our Patreon within the next month or so. And we're going to be telling stories while we go to those places, have some tea
that
we've never dropped before. So I'm excited.
I'm excited too. What's fun too is like when we were coming up with a list of ideas, like I have a huge list. So when we want to do more stuff too, like I have a list ready to go.
Yeah, I'm excited. It's so good to have ideas banked because I struggle with that sometimes, even for like our slumber party podcast on Patreon. I feel like I've been getting better at it lately.
Oh, you've been on fire lately.
Thank God. Because for a while I was like, shit, when we're done with this crazy Butler book review, what are we even going to do?
We have never finished the Butler book review.
You know what's crazy? Yeah, we were, for those of you who don't know, if you're not a Patreon pumpkin, we were reviewing this wild ass book called The Dark Secrets of Playboy, written by a former mansion butler who was there like in the late 70s, early 80s. And his stories are so unhinged. They're out of control, but people have a love-hate relationship with this book because you just don't know what you can believe. So as wild, I mean, it's definitely entertaining either way because the stories are just so wild. But we just finally like burnt out on it after a while. But the irony is there's only a few pages left. And I do think I'm going to need to circle back as a portion of our slumber party just because one of the very last things in the book is super egregious and crazy.
Yeah, we do need to finish it. But it's just so funny. We've had so much to talk about lately that I feel like it's been months since since we were even doing the book.
Yeah, and I feel like it's better too because we haven't been so strict about recording slumber parties ahead of time. Like if we need to jump on Riverside and do one remote last minute, and I feel like that actually works better and I just have more to talk about that way.
Yeah.
So
yeah, catching it in the moment too.
Praise the Lord. Keep it coming.
But back to the Halloween stuff and everything, the devil horned hoodies. I've had like so many people like asking for those again. So I asked merch to bring it back. But this time I asked them because some people were like didn't love the blonde mafia on there because they're like, I'm not blonde. And they didn't feel kind of, but it just means you're part of our blonde family. But I get it why you don't want to wear it. I had them switch it to say pumpkins across it. So I hope you guys like that. It'll be a Halloween drop.
That is so cute. I love that.
Yeah.
Aww, little pumpkins. So should we get into Every Day is Wednesday?
Yeah, but I'm just so excited about Halloween now. There's been so many code oranges.
What is a code orange?
Code Orange is when somebody starts selling Halloween stuff. So like Michaels was probably one of the first. Like as soon as they start getting that Halloween stuff on the shelves, people put out a Code Orange and it's like, look, look who's got it. And there's been just, everybody's got it. Now the Spirit Store sign went up on our, like in our town right now. Everything is gearing. I even saw a Disneyland commercial for the, all their Halloween stuff. Six Flags is doing their thing starting September 2nd.
Whoa.
Like, tickets go on sale this week. Like, I know it's still summer, but it is Halloween time.
You know what the craziest one is Disney World, because they start their Halloween in August.
Oh, wow.
And I feel like as much as I love Halloween, that's a little early. It's taking away the specialness of the season, I feel.
It does. It does. I agree.
So, I mean, I get it that you need a lot of time to get all your Halloween celebrations in, but that's what September, the whole month. And October, also a whole month.
Yes, the whole month. Agreed. Okay, let's talk about Wednesday now.
All right.
You guys, I'm so excited to tell you about our new sponsor. You guys know how much I love sheets and bedding and to switch them up for different seasons and with different colors. So I'm so excited that we have partnered with Koyuchi. And their organic sheet set is the key to a cooler, healthier sleep year-round. You guys know how much time I spend on my workout and my skincare and my makeup, but honestly, only recently have I thought about how important what I sleep on is to my health and wellness. Having an amazing set of sheets that keeps you cool and doesn't irritate your skin, it's really a game changer, and it makes the difference waking up every morning and going to bed every night. Think of how much time we spend in our beds. We need quality bedding. But can I also tell you guys that I got their robe and I've literally been using it every day. It's so comfy to put on the second I get out of the shower. I wear it the entire time I'm doing my hair and makeup. Sometimes I lounge around in it just around the house. It's lightweight, it's cozy, and I'm in love with it. Invest in your health and the best sleep of your life. The organic crinkled Purcell sheets are naturally cooling for a restful sleep and certified to be free of toxins and harmful chemicals that could seep into your skin. You can sleep well and safely with Koyuchi. So if you want healthy, handcrafted luxury bedding that lasts a lifetime, you need Koyuchi. Get 15% off when you visit koyuchi.com/level. That's koyuchi.com/level to get 15% off. koyuchi.com/level.
Welcome back to Girls Next Level Podcast, everybody. Today we are here to talk about a cute little Frankenstein episode that is all about the animals called Every Day is Wednesday. And this episode first aired on January 20th, 2008. The number two song, because as we know, number one,
Get Low
by Flo Rida, 10 weeks.
To the window, to the wall.
So the number two song was Bleeding Love by Leona Lewis. The number one movie was Cloverfield, which I remember was my least favorite movie I ever saw at the mansion. And I think the only one I ever walked out of.
Really?
Well, the reason I didn't like it, the main reason was because it kind of had this handheld video style and it was making me nauseous.
Oh, yeah.
And also, like, I mean, this is 7 years after, so maybe not, but it was all about like disaster in New York. And the poster was like a decimated Statue of Liberty or something. And I felt like too soon.
Oh, yeah.
After 9/11.
Yeah.
I don't know. It just wasn't putting a good taste in my mouth. So this episode opens up with the Last Chance for Animals event. And this is another weird thing where like shit's happening in my real life. And then it's also happening when I'm watching the show. And I swear I don't like take inspo from the show and do it. It's always something that's kind of like organically starts happening in my life. And then I'm like, wait, this episode, because it shows me doing this charity event in the beginning, but I just like got on the board of this thing that my friend is starting. He's starting this place called the Space 2.0 in Vegas, where it's a place like people who work on the strip can go to get like mental health care and counseling and stuff like that. So like I just got off the Zoom with him saying I want to be involved. Like, what can I do and stuff? And then I go to like watch this episode to make notes. And I'm like, this is so weird because I really haven't done like I used to be involved in like the community and charity and stuff a lot. Like when I had my show in Vegas and then when I had kids, I kind of just wasn't doing a lot just in the public eye. And I just wanted to like get back into it. So I think it's weird that, I don't know, just as things happen in my life. And then it's always like when it's happening when we're reviewing the show.
Yeah. It's been a lot for you.
I know. It's like every episode. So I come out to do this step and repeat that's set up in the front lawn. And I bring Duke with me since it's an animal event. I dress him up in a little Playboy sweater, which I don't usually dress him up, but I thought it was cute for the carpet. And I make it clear in the commentary that if this carpet wasn't at our house, I would have never like brought my dog to a carpet. Because this was the height of like the early 2000s, like girls using cutesy little dogs as accessories. And I was on a red carpet and I was never like into that.
Yeah.
And then I talk about how I was not necessarily always comfortable on these carpets because especially in LA, you just never know what you're going to get with the photographers. You never know what the collective mood is going to be. Like, is everybody going to be in a good mood and positive, or are they going to be negative and like barking at you? And I don't know. And then they were asking me to take a picture without Duke because I was holding Duke in the picture. But I'm like, what am I going to do? Just set him down and let him run around?
Yeah.
Like that would have made sense if I would have had an assistant with me to hold him or something, but I didn't. So it shows Hillary and Haley Duff, which I took a picture with them, but I don't remember, which is iconic, but I don't remember taking it. And I think it's because I was so nervous that day because I had to speak that everything else is like kind of out of my mind until I'm up there.
I remember meeting them both at an event, and it must have been this one.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like I was out there with you at one point.
Probably.
Or all of it. I don't know. But I'm not seeing it all in it. So I can't be sure. But I feel like I was because I remember meeting them.
That was a big, long event. And I bet if I look at my pictures when I go through to put them on Patreon, I'll find photos of you in there because I have a stack of photos from that event.
Because I remember meeting them kind of backstage type thing too. So yeah. Like, I feel like I was out there with you, but.
Yeah, there's a little stage set up back there. Bob Saget, RIP, hosted. And it's funny because he introduces me as everyone's favorite girl next door. But I feel like anytime one of the three of us got introduced or written about for anything individually, that's the line they always use. Everyone's favorite girl next door.
Oh, people still say that too. They're like, oh, you know, you're everyone's favorite and stuff. And it's like, no, that's not. Everybody says that to the one they're talking to.
Totally.
And so you're presenting an award to Cesar Millan.
Yeah, the dog whisperer. Which that was a big show at the time.
Yeah. I remember when I was doing my Yahoo Animal Nation show, I did a segment with him.
Oh,
like
fun.
Interview and talking about, you know, his story and everything.
Is that show still on? How long was it on?
The Dog Whisperer?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Forever, though.
Yeah. I remember that show seemed so groundbreaking when it came out. Like, wow, he's really working miracles with dogs.
Yeah.
You know, like he's our only hope.
It shows Hef peeking out the back door and looking at the bed. In commentary, you're kind of like, oh, that's not in real time. But I think it was.
No, I think it was. And every time I watch this, when they show that first shot of him looking out, I always think it's not in real time. I don't know why there's a disconnect.
Yeah.
To me, it seems like a filled in shot. But then as they keep filming, you can see that like he's talking with his friends about the event that's actually going on out there. And you can see a little bit more of it.
You can see what's happening on stage. You can tell it is the event. So.
But every time I watch this episode, I think that whether it was for commentary or my YouTube rewatch, I'm always like, oh, that's not the same time. It just for some reason doesn't look like it. In that
well, because it's so like our show to have Hef do that later and not really in real time. But it was obviously Manly night. So it was a Monday night.
Yeah. And it shows some of Hef's friends gathered by the door. And he says, oh, there's a charity auction out there if any of you guys want to bid on anything. And Dickie goes, I'm going to go get my wallet. I left it out in the car. And in commentary, we're like, likely story, Dickie.
Yeah.
And then I said, it seems like Hef is more interested in the bunnies than the actual charity auction. And it cuts to like Karen McDougal.
And she's like,
and they do that sound. So after the cold open, they cut to you in confessional and we basically reintroduce the zoo.
I was just going to say, one year I actually got an award. It must be the next year because I got an award from Much Love, that glass award they were giving out to like Cesar and stuff. I got one like the next year.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah.
That's cool.
It's one of my few awards that I have.
No.
Yeah. So then, we're reintroducing the zoo. It shows a bunch of the animals in the backyard. It shows these really cute blue and green birds that I don't remember
seeing.
The ones
that look like a kiwi?
Yes.
Yeah. I don't remember the names of them. I knew it at the time because I had like this folder with like printouts of like what all the animals were and like their scientific names and everything. But I don't remember what those birds are called, but they're really cool looking.
Oh, like all our names for the plants for the garden club?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In an interview, I say we have over 100 different species of birds, wild African cranes, pink flamingos, toucans, African grays, cockatoos. We have a kinkajou, and I love that they got it. I remember when they were filming this scene, I was like, you have to get the kinkajou. And they were like, what are you talking about, blah, blah. And I'm like, no, you have to. And it sleeps. You won't even know it's in there because it sleeps during the day. You guys have to get them to wake it up. Mm-hmm. And they did. And I was so glad.
So cute. Yeah, I love that that's captured. And as we talked about on the show a couple of weeks ago, a lot of those animals are still there at the house. We saw a little sneak preview of it on social media. Somebody posted.
Yeah, I go on to say there's three different types of monkeys. There's iguanas, a variety of ducks, koi fish, and the list goes on and on.
It really does. One thing that's not still there at the mansion is the aviary, but they do a great tour of the aviary in this episode. So I'm glad they captured that.
I really thought that the aviary was such a unique place. With the little waterfalls and the ponds,
it was
and little
really
bridges
cool.
And aquariums and the turtles and all the birds.
And it's not the new owners that got rid of that, right?
No.
Still wouldn't have had the mansion.
Hef got rid
down.
Of it for parking.
I don't. Do you find
because
it
Because they sold the house across the street. That was where parking was. So they needed more parking at the mansion.
Do you really think Hef made that decision, though?
I can't imagine that he did, but at the time, I thought he did.
Because he was so into the zoo and just the preservation of the mansion at, like, his prime.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, tearing that down for parking.
Yeah.
No, he would have been like, send more people to the parking garage or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, he might have started doing
park
a shuttle for his friends or stuff, you know?
And it's not like he always had the Playmate House across the street because he only bought that like right around the time I moved in.
Right.
So what was he doing for parking before then, you know? Like, I just don't buy it that he made that call in sound mind. I think that was like kind of, I don't know whose decision it would have been.
When we're doing commentary, we're talking about how the mansion just got 50 new monkeys.
That seems like a lot. They must have been the squirrel monkeys.
Yeah, they were the small
ones. That was the big cage with the little yellow monkeys.
Yeah. And yeah, in commentary, Kendra and I talk a little bit about she must have already, well, not must have. She already filmed the scene in Bridget's Beaches with me because we talk about how we were in San Diego and there was a giant sea turtle swimming next to us.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
And then Kendra says she's never seen this episode. So that's kind of like how far removed we kind of are.
Right.
Too. And then they show some super old footage of Hef from 1972. It shows him playing with the monkeys, who, by the way, are all on leashes. They're outside, but they're on, like, leashes out there. And I just thought that was interesting because our favorite butler in his book writes about how they would just roam free back in the day.
Yeah, that seems weird.
Now, I know the peacocks roamed free, and I know sometimes they would be in the neighbor's yard or over on the golf course's yard, and they would call and be like, can you come get your birds or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
But, like, the monkeys seems a little weird to just let them roam free. And this is 1972, and they're on leashes, so.
Yeah, I felt like that butler was making it sound like the squirrel monkeys were just, like, roaming free like crazy. And that seems even wilder to me because how do you give those animals veterinary care? Do you have to take like a pool skimmer and like catch them or like how would you do that? Because these are these little monkeys that would have been like jumping through
the trees.
They
would have been everywhere. They'd have been all over the city.
Forest. Yeah, 100%. They would have been on the golf course. It would have been a constant hassle.
And why does it look like Hef is wearing a prison jumpsuit?
Well, you say in commentary, you're like, he looks like Charlie Manson just got out of prison because he's wearing this orange terry cloth onesie with like a Playboy patch on it that looks like it was custom made. And then he's got his long dark hair kind of grown out and shaggy. So it's giving Charlie Manson broken out of prison. But he also looks a lot like Marston in this footage.
He does.
Kendra's pointing that out and we're all agreeing. But even more so now that Marston's older, like they definitely look so much alike.
Mm-hmm.
And the monkey he's interacting with is a different species of monkey that was there from when we were there. It was a woolly monkey. He used to have a pair of them. I know the female's name was Terry, and Terry passed away like not long before we moved in. And those are the ones that are like on the leashes on the big tree. And what blows me away is there's a sheep dog just roaming free in the backyard. And I'm like, because like sometimes our dogs would get in the backyard, but they really had to be supervised and they kind of weren't supposed to be back there because of the birds and stuff. How are big ass sheep dogs cohabitating with like a monkey on a leash? And not mayhem happening.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe that wasn't happening all the time. Maybe they were just filming that day. And since there were a lot of people back there, I don't know. I was just looking at that and I'm like, whoa, shit's about to go down.
Yeah. In interview, you say, Hef definitely sees himself as the dad of all our animals here, and he's very proud of them. He loves them and loves to see their different milestones. And shows him trying to pet Spot, which is always tricky.
Mm-hmm.
Spot did like to have pets, but it would also peck you.
Yeah, totally. You're supposed to not get on eye level with him.
Some days your brain needs a vacation. That is where IndaCloud comes in. IndaCloud is federally legal THC in the form of gummies, pre-rolls, and flower designed to turn hanging on into fully chilling. So if you're 21 or older, head to IndaCloud.co and use code NEXTLEVEL to get 25% off your first order plus free shipping. That's IndaCloud.co, code NEXTLEVEL, 25% off free shipping. Just a better vibe in your mailbox.
Oh my gosh, have you guys tried IndaCloud yet? They are so great for unwinding. Plus, I love edibles and I really love candy. And these are the most delicious edibles I've ever had. You guys, they come in flavors like grape soda, orange soda, peach soda. They also have this stuff. It's called Chronic Crystals and it's for like nighttime. Well, there's different ones here. Let's see. I've got a nighttime and a daytime one. And they remind me of Pop Rocks. So this is so much fun and delicious. It's the best way to break away from the chaos, from the emails, and just unwind. IndaCloud is federally legal THC in the form of gummies, pre-rolls, and flower, designed to turn hanging on into fully chilling. I love to take a nighttime gummy just before bed. It helps me relax and forget about that to-do list and all the emails I didn't get back to. And there's no panic with these, no next day haze, just good sleep and better energy the next morning. It sounds too smooth to be legal, right? But it is. IndaCloud's products are Farm Bill compliant, third-party tested, and made for grown-ups who want a buzz without the need to drive 25 minutes to a dispensary. More than 50,000 people already trust them because when it feels this good, it should also feel easy. Whether you're chasing deeper sleep, better focus, or some peace between your streaming marathons, this is how adults get elevated now. If you're 21 or older, now's your chance to float above the stress because IndaCloud is giving all new customers 25% off their first order plus free shipping. Just use code NEXTLEVEL or click the link in the show notes to claim your discount. That's IndaCloud.co, IndaCloud.co. Use code NEXTLEVEL for free shipping plus 25% off your first order. Fill out their quick survey when you order to support this show and make your week a more enjoyable week. All thanks to IndaCloud.
And then it shows footage of Hef back in the day, and he's interacting with this hyacinth macaw they used to have named Macbeth. And this is the cutest bird. It's like royal blue with like yellow around its eye and yellow around its mouth. And what's extra cute about these birds to me is they look like they're permanently smiling because of the markings around their mouth. And I would see pictures of this bird that he used to have, and I loved it. And I was like, we have to get this bird again. So when I was thinking about a gift for him for our anniversary, I was like, I need to buy him one of these macaws. And I asked the animal department about it, and come to find out they're like endangered, like the most expensive bird, like the craziest. But I asked, like, can you, you know, look around and see if there's any for sale? So they did find one after a while, and I was so excited.
Do you remember how much it was?
I don't.
I'm just curious.
I mean, it was thousands of dollars, but I don't remember. I mean, it couldn't have been too crazy because I could afford it, but
yeah,
it wasn't cheap. It was more than the peacocks, I'll tell you that much.
And you talk about how it cuts to you with Carola.
Yeah, it shows me picking up Carola from her little area. And I take her over to see Ish, the head of the zoo department. And he walks me back to his little office area, which is kind of over by security guest house. And he pulls up the picture of the baby hyacinth macaw he found and shows me a photo. And I was so excited to see she already had feathers because I was expecting to see like a naked little baby bird because it was so new. And then I'm asking Ish because I'm like, we also had African gray birds there and they are the parrots that can really talk.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, what bird says fuck you? Because there was this legend that one of the birds said, fuck you, and that someone filed an HR complaint about it because like one of the workers was offended because
oh
the bird
gosh.
Kept saying, fuck
yeah.
you.
Yeah.
And Ish was like, I don't know, you know.
And Ish seems offended that any of his birds would even say such a thing.
Yeah.
He's like, what? None of my birds say
yeah,
that.
Yeah, he seems not so sure about that. And
you're like, no, I've heard it from two different people.
Yeah. And I was like, it's crazy because, you know, when these birds talk, like everybody wants to hear them talk on command and you can't really make them do it. They just kind of have to do it when they want to.
I was just going to say, I remember there was one of the birds said meow.
Yeah, that
and
was cute.
On my tours, I'd always try and get it to say meow on my tours. I'm like, this bird says meow.
Would it do it very often?
So, yeah, sometimes.
Oh, cute. So as I'm walking out of his office, they have a voiceover of me singing happy birthday and it cuts to a parrot voice saying, fuck you.
Yeah.
So funny.
Because one of the birds sings happy birthday, right?
Yeah, supposedly.
That's crazy. Next scene, there's a knock at Kendra's door. Anthony, the butler, asks her if she wants her dogs groomed. And I was like, wait, what? Because I feel like I did my own dog grooming, like took care of that myself. Did you get your dogs groomed by the, like somebody that came to the mansion?
Yeah, like once a month, a groomer would come down to the gym and groom all the dogs.
I don't think I was in on that.
Yeah.
Because I remember doing Winnie's bath in our bathtub.
Yeah, it was pretty automated.
And then Rascal and Martini start fighting. Like, for real.
Oh, yeah. And there's kind of this funny scene where it shows Kendra kind of tripping and falling off her bed and they play like a crashing noise.
Yeah. And it's interesting. She says that both of her dogs have her personality. Rascal has the spunky and dorky side and Martini has the bitch athletic tomboy side.
And then she says that Martini has an addiction to balls. And she goes, just like her mother. And in commentary, we are dying because we're talking about teabagging and you don't know what teabagging is. And I'm trying to explain it to you. And I said, but I've never done it. And Kendra says, I do it to Hank all the time. And we're just like dying laughing.
And Mikkel and Kevin are dying in the other room.
Yeah, because I think we talked about teabagging on a previous season's commentary. And then Kendra was like, Mikkel likes it when Kevin teabags or something. And everybody's just dying in the And yeah, I've still never been teabagged. So I don't know who's going to break the seal.
Like I said last time, you got to get out more.
And then Kendra talks about Martini staring at things. Like it shows Martini staring at one of the laser pointers on the wall and things like that.
Yeah. I remember she was really, really worried that her dog was like addicted to like somebody messed it up because of the laser pointer. Mm-hmm. But I also felt like she was going like way overboard at her concern for this. Like
maybe, I don't know. Yeah. I feel like my dog, Louie, he's so old. He's at least 16, but we don't really know because he's a rescue. I feel like he kind of has dementia because he's gotten to a stage in his life where he'll just stand and like stare at nothing for a really long time.
Yeah, but
and he didn't always do that. And I think he's just so old.
He's super old and he's not well.
Yeah.
I mean, Winnie did stuff like that when she was like getting close to the end too. But this is, he is not close to the end. And I think, and he's just a very active dog who liked to play and liked the laser pointers, liked the balls, liked all that kind of stuff. And I remember thinking at the time that she was like way overreacting to the situation.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think I paid enough attention to it in real life to like know. But
so then they decide to call in a pet psychic.
Patrice, the pet psychic.
And she tells her that I communicate with your pet when you want them to, like, whatever you want them to know and also what they want you to know. And then Kendra's telling her, this is just over the phone. Kendra's telling her, well, she pees when she gets excited. And then right then, Martini pees on the stairs.
I feel like that's a good use for, like, doggy diapers.
Yeah.
Because one time somebody told me that, like, their mom used diapers on the dog. And I was thinking, huh? But I can see it if you had a dog that would just kind of pee whenever.
Well, that's the second time it's pee just on the camera, too. And I feel like if that's probably all over the house then. Right. I mean, I know there was pee and stuff, but like, it's like one of those things. It's if it was in my house, I would have to do something about that.
Yeah.
Then they do B-roll of like the Hollywood sign, the Walk of Fame, the Capitol Records building. So, you know, we're getting Hollywood.
Yeah.
Now.
It's a whole Hooray for Hollywood montage with like this fake Hooray for Hollywood music. It's cute. And Winnie is in the cutest green Juicy Couture doggy bag.
Oh, yeah. I was so excited about that
pink and green
bag.
The best
and
color combo.
Rhinestoned it with Swarovski crystals. Like, I was like super into that bag.
And you have the cutest yellow juicy tracksuit.
I love that juicy tracksuit.
Was that one velour or terry cloth?
Terry.
Ooh, I like the terry cloth one.
And you know what? Somebody sent me a picture from, it's actually a store in this casino in Connecticut that I've done an appearance at before because I recognize the name.
And Foxwoods?
Yes. They had every single color of Juicy Couture tracksuit in terry and velour.
Really?
A rainbow of colors.
They just have a special juicy store there?
That's what she said. And I was like, oh my God. And I asked her, are those velour or terry cloth? And she said, both. And I'm
oh
like,
my God.
I want to go there. I want to go there just to go to the Juicy store.
Yeah. Juicy's an interesting brand these days because they'll sell them like super expensive on, not super expensive, but like on the more expensive side on like their site. But then they'll also have them at like TJ Maxx or someplace like that for super cheap. It's random where the Juicy stuff shows up these days.
It is. And they're not, they've been bought out and they're like a bigger company owns them now.
And I noticed they do just collab. And some of the collabs are super random.
Why wouldn't they do a collab with us?
I don't know. I feel like they go out of their way to not do collabs that are associated with like the 2000s. Like they only go for like new influencers, which I guess I get. Because like if you're already associated with the 2000s, you know, bring yourself into like present day.
I'm so mad. You know, you said they're kind of expensive. Like I think the zip up hoodie from their side is like, I don't know, like 150 or 125 or something like that. And you know, that aqua one that I have, that I love that color. Their zipper broke. Those J fell off, and it's the whole zipper mechanism, not just the charm. The whole like zipper thing came off.
Oh, the whole zipper.
In the dryer.
Whoa.
And I've messaged them to see if I can get, because I took it to try and get it like fixed, and they have to take out the whole zipper. And they said that they don't have that color zipper, you know, it's a custom color. So I contacted Juicy to see if there's any way I can buy like a replacement zipper or like what can be done. No response.
Oh.
But I love that tracksuit. Like I want that. I want it. And I've only worn it a handful of times.
I remember back in the day, losing the J in the dryer was such a common thing that they even came out with instructions that I learned to follow eventually, which is like, and this sounds like yours was a different problem if the whole zipper is coming off, but like you have to zip it up all the way, turn it inside out, put it in a lingerie bag, and then put it in the washer and then don't air dry it.
Oh.
That's the whole protocol so you don't lose your J.
I didn't know about all of that. Well, I think that that J got stuck in something because it twisted like the zipper thing too. Oh. Like there's like a pinch in it. And then the whole thing came off, including the puller. Not just the J, but the actual like piece that goes up. Anyway, it's a mess and they can't fix it without like putting in a whole like hokey zipper. And I don't want that because that would be ugly.
I know. I wish we could do a Juicy collab where they would recreate like the Juicy stuff that we wore on the show, like the Winnie birthday dress and stuff like that.
Oh, but I had that pink and green stripe, like little tennis dress.
Yeah, there's so many cute things that I wish they would like remake.
I had cute bikinis. Ugh, yeah, I could go on and on.
Mm-hmm.
That even that dog bag.
I know. And Winnie herself is so cute in the scene. I can't stand it.
This whole episode, she is like so beautiful. Her hair is
She's
so good.
Hollywood ready.
Her eyes are bright and vibrant. Mm-hmm. Like, because, you know, the last time I've seen her, she was very sick and everything. So it's been a long time since I've seen her. So like perfect and
it's
beautiful
so fun to
and
have
vibrant.
That time capsule.
Yeah.
So when you get to your radio show, you call the butlers to fake order breakfast. And I'm so confused in this scene because they act like it's never been done before. So I always watch this scene thinking you were doing some random skit where you're trying to like appear really high maintenance and they're like freaking out because they don't know what's going on. Like, is she really calling the butlers right now?
There's three things happening in the scene. Number one, the whole premise of the show was supposed to be like I was doing this from my bedroom at first thing in the morning at the mansion. Mm-hmm. And you were waking up to me. And so that's why we do this little skit at the beginning of every single episode where I order breakfast. I say who's there with me. I get their breakfast order. And we pretend that this is me just waking up at the mansion.
Because this is a radio show from 20 years ago. So there's no video. Like rare that you're seeing this behind the scenes. It's not like a video podcast.
Yeah. And most of the time I never wore makeup.
Yeah.
Like I just dressed down. Like it was just very casual.
Somebody's having a party like behind us in the recording studio. What?
It's crazy. There's like a drum beating.
Yeah. So
we need to go over there with our tambourine.
There's like, I know there's like a party going on. This feels like when you're asleep at the mansion or trying to sleep and the party's still going on, or one of the rental parties, like it's very much that same sound.
Yeah.
So we have some authentic mansion ambiance to bring you guys right back.
So that's the skit I'm doing. This was nothing new. We did it at the start of every single episode for 2 years. This is not my first radio show, but what they did is they put footage from my first radio show in there to where this is the first time we're doing it. And they're like, oh, wait, is she actually going to call? Because I did actually call and get the butlers on the, because I thought it'd be fun to include them. And so they have scenes from the very first time, like production behind the scenes scenes from the first time I did my radio show, mixing it with this time, which is well into when I'm already doing it, mixed with like not explaining that this is just part of the show.
From fitness routines to mental resilience, navigating personal goals to tackling burnout, we all need a little help being human. That's what the Life Kit podcast from NPR is here to do. If you're looking to move with more intention or just need thoughtful guidance on living better, the Life Kit delivers strategies to help you make meaningful, sustainable change. Life doesn't come with a manual, but every day you're making choices, some big, some small, that shape the direction of your life. Life Kit offers real stories, relevant insights, and clear takeaways to help you meet those decision-making moments with confidence and clarity.
I just listened to one of the Life Kit episodes about financial management, and I love stuff like that. It's like Life Kit is teaching you all the stuff that they should teach you in school, but don't. When you listen to Life Kit, you get to hear thoughtful conversations that unpack the emotional and practical side of personal wellness. Actionable guidance I can actually use, no fluff, no judgment, trusted voices and expert advice. Get help tackling common issues like relationships, finances, parenting, and your career. Then walk away with a game plan you can implement right away. Life Kit isn't just another podcast about self-improvement. It's about understanding how to live a little better starting now. Listen now to the Life Kit podcast from NPR.
Yeah. And then you told me in real life that when you order lamb for Winnie, you mean like the lamb flavored dog food.
Yes.
Because I always watch this thinking you were like doing a bit, like you were trying to appear like really spoiled or something. So you're like, and can you send, because I pictured like a full like plate of lamb chops for Winnie.
Oh,
like
my
that's
gosh.
What I thought you were doing.
Not at all, you guys. So there was dog food and there was different flavors. Like there was chicken, there was a beef or and then like a lamb one and some other one. And so I asked for the lamb flavored one. And the reason they say, could you warm it up is because when the can was already open, they'd leave it in the refrigerator and then it would be like really cold. And I noticed that she wouldn't eat it until it like warmed up. So if they could just like nuke it a little bit so that it was warmed up. Is what I was asking for, but it sounds so hoity-toity,
it
like
does.
Lamb just warmed up ever so slightly for Winnie,
like she's getting a full 5-star meal.
Yeah,
which who doesn't deserve it more than Wednesday?
Yeah, it's just not what it seems to be.
So then you have two guests come in. We have our old friend Crystal Camden, who is now billed as Cyber Girl. And I love that for her. And I just feel like Crystal's really come into her own since we first met her on the show.
Yeah.
And then the other guest is playmate Miriam Gonzalez, who was a playmate in like, I don't know, 2001 or 2002, something like that.
Yeah.
And we've never seen her on the show before. What was the occasion for her coming in? Do you remember? Just hanging out?
Just hanging out. Like I would just ask different people to come in. But I do want to say Tim was my producer that you see him in here, and he now produces the Mario Lopez show.
Oh, fun.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. And in commentary, so I call the butlers and I'm talking to Alan, one of the butlers, and you say that you need to ask Alan to go over and drive your car because your Corvette is still parked at the other house and it hasn't been driven in a while.
Yeah, he would always help me with the car because he knew all about classic cars. So he would help me with anything. He helped me when I was driving Hef's Mercedes. He helped me with my car.
That's so cool. Yeah. And so then I start talking about mansion gossip because that is how the radio show starts. And then a doorbell rings and that's when the guests come in. Mm-hmm. And that's just the format of the show. Like I'm just waking up. Let me tell you what's been going on this week. Oh, wait, somebody's at the door. Hold on. Let me answer it. So, yeah, it's just kind of the way the whole thing goes. And we're promoting Crystal's Cyber Girl voting.
Yeah. She announces that her Cyber Girl of the Week shoot is up and they're now doing like the online voting for Cyber Girl of the Month. Did she get Cyber Girl of the Month or no?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't remember. But I feel like when it came to Cyber Girl, I feel like fans of Playboy Online were like not into like the Hef's girlfriend thing.
Yeah, I agree.
definitely before the show, they weren't into it. And I don't think it translated. You know? Like, I don't think there were a lot of girly girls who are fans of the show, like voting for who's a cyber girl in the Playboy.com subscription membership area.
Right.
I mean, because Crystal's era would have been years later, but I just feel like back in the day, like around the time I first moved in, like the fan base reception to any of Hef's girls posing was hostile because he'd done so many girlfriends in the magazine that even if a girlfriend was cyber girl, it like didn't really meet a great reception. It was like, oh, we don't want another one of these. Like people were mad about it.
Yeah. And so then while we're chatting and everything, somebody lets Winnie out and she goes running down the hall.
I love the noise they make for her running. It's like a clunky.
Yeah. Yeah. So I say, I don't know if Winnie really has a desire for stardom, but she definitely likes to be the center of attention and she's very excited to show off her talents.
Aww.
Then in commentary, there's some interesting banter here about the radio show. I say, I'm not doing my radio show anymore. And I say, and they're not even playing my reruns anymore. And then...
Can I interrupt? Was your decision to not do the show because you had to be there in person the same time live every week and you couldn't do that doing Bridget speeches?
That's exactly why. But I wanted to come back and and redo it, still continue it.
That's what I was going to ask you. Like, did you hope to continue it and do it on the off season?
Yes. And so that's why I was like, I still had a time slot. And that's why they were playing reruns in it. And when I say like I wasn't ready to move out yet, like because I was still planning on doing the radio show. I was still planning on like filming Girls Next Door when I came back. I was still going to be doing beaches. I still wanted to like be moving on. But I
transition.
My transition wasn't until like I thought it was going to be like summertime of 2009, not January.
Yeah, like a year after you first started beaches, kind of.
Yeah. So, everything was kind of sped up. And then I said, and then this is where I say, and I didn't know they were going to take my computer away.
Yeah, because I remember back in the day during that time period, you were telling me that they were hounding you for the computer they gave you to do the radio show. And you said something back to them because I think you were like out of the country or something and couldn't physically give it back. And you said something to them like, damn, is Playboy going to go broke if they don't get this one laptop back? And they wrote you back and said, yeah, we might.
Well, one of the reasons why I was trying to hold on to that computer, too, is because it had a video, like a webcam on it. Like it was one of the first computers, or at least for me, that had like an actual camera in it where you could. And I was doing the Mansion Minute with that computer as well. But I was also using it for like Skype back in the day on my while I was traveling. Mm-hmm. I could Skype from it and talk to Nick or my mom or whatever. And my regular computer did not have a video thing. So I was also like dragging my feet like giving it back, because not that I couldn't go buy another computer. Of course, I could have afforded it at that time and stuff, but I just didn't have time to go and do all of that and like set it all up and everything. So I was dragging my feet, but they were, pushing me to bring it back.
I had to return my BlackBerry when I quit the studio, but I felt silly sending it back because I had like rhinestoned the back of it. There's like a Playboy bunny on the back and stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, it's still on brand.
And I say in commentary that I thought I was going to go back and do like or even do remote shows, which would have been cool, or just specials. And I don't even have my time slot anymore. And then I remember some weird things started happening after that. Then Brian Olea got a radio show and it was basically doing my show.
Oh, like a fill-in?
It was his own show, but it was basically the same format.
Oh.
Not exactly. Yeah. Like it wasn't wake up, Bridget, or wake up, Brian, or anything. But it was like talking about mansion gossip and what was going on at the mansion. And this format, like I created the format. Mm-hmm. Like I did it. And now like Brian was doing it. And nothing against Brian or anything with that. But then he brings in Jessica as a co-host.
Jessica Hall.
Mm-hmm. And then they're like doing my show. And then it's then it becomes Pilar. And then Jessica starts doing a different Playboy radio show. And then she met this girl through me who then becomes she invites to be her co-host, who had nothing to do with Playboy. So she was friends. Like I met her through a whole other thing. And her and Jessica, like I'd have events at my house, like pumpkin carving or like just, you know, pool party, whatever at my house. And her and Jessica became friends and Jessica invited her to co-host. And so then
there's a troll outside our studio.
Oh my God.
I need him to walk back so I can get some footage.
They're here to
show you guys. Hey. I need to video him. Hang on.
Don't go.
Come back.
Come back.
Oh, here he is. Hi. Who are you?
We are.
Stop.
Hi.
Hi, ladies.
Hi.
I don't want to interrupt. I'm just big fans. I just came to say hi.
We love it.
I'm just doing a little tour with Howie.
Okay, good.
Yeah. All right. Well, have a good podcast.
Thank you.
Brightened our day. Bye.
It's so funny. You never know what you're going to see here. I thought it was going to be a cute dog or something because there's been a cute dog a few times go by, but not today, but other times.
I'm obsessed.
Yeah. So anyways, there was like all these like shows and I sort of felt like I got mine taken away from me. And now these other people are like not only doing a show for Playboy Radio, but are like doing what I felt like was my show or parts of it into their show. And I just felt like, and I remember saying to Brian or whatever one time, I feel like that's like my show. And he goes, yeah, it basically is.
Yeah. Did you feel like there was clear communication when you left about like, do you feel like you had a chance to like negotiate your exit or do you feel like it was just kind of pulled away from you or do you feel like they made assumptions? How do you feel like that went down?
It's not clear to me.
Yeah.
I feel like I obviously had an idea that I thought I was going to be able to do specials and remote shows and pick it back up when I came back. And I know that the people at Playboy Radio, like, really loved me. And, like, we had a great relationship. And I know they were bummed that I was leaving. And so I really felt strongly like that was all going to be okay. But then Kendra says at the end of me talking about all of this in the commentary, she said, we all got fired.
You know what? That's so interesting and so telling. And obviously we'll get into it deeper as we get into that timeline and really start diving into it. But I'm fascinated by, I think we all, maybe Kendra a little less so than us, but I think even though we all three made the choice to move out and move on, I feel like a little bit after came this feeling of betrayal.
Yes.
Where we felt like we were maybe treated worse than other exes or treated spitefully or, and it's interesting because, you know, in the beginning, like when I made the excuse to leave, even though I was like scared to step foot outside the mansion and didn't know what would be waiting for me, I was still determined to do it because it's what felt right. But it wouldn't be much long after that, like only like a few months after I started feeling a sense of like betrayal or like extra hostility that shouldn't have been there.
Yeah.
And I think you can even feel some of those feelings of betrayal coming through in the commentary. Like we feel betrayed. We feel like we were backstabbed a little after we decided to leave. And
yeah. And my loyalty was still with the company. Like I still wanted to do Girls Next Door. I still wanted to stay at the mansion for a little while longer. I still wanted to do my radio show. Like I wasn't trying to be like, oh, fuck this, I'm out. Mm-hmm. You know, like I still had a great relationship with Hev and platonic, but still, you know, like a relationship. Like I felt like everything should have been fine. I was ready to start dating.
Yeah.
I was ready to start like thinking about my transition out and moving out and how I would still be part of everything still. But it all got expedited because of like the hostility. The hostility, like with this kind of stuff, the hostility with the new girls that were coming in, like it was just uncomfortable and not good.
Yeah. Do you feel like you were so busy with beaches you didn't have a chance to negotiate your exit? Or do you feel like you just weren't listened to?
I just feel like it was given away while I was doing my stuff and I had bigger things going on.
Yeah.
And it, I mean, like I got paid like $100 to do the radio show.
So it wasn't about like, money for you.
Yeah, it wasn't about money, but I did enjoy doing it. And I just felt like, well, I have bigger fish to fry, I have better things to do and stuff like that. It's fine. And other people are doing the show now. Mm-hmm. And I know that Brian started his radio show in like 2009, so it was not far after I left.
Yeah, and it reminds me of the feeling of like when I broke up with Hef, I was so eager for him to move on. I wanted him to meet somebody so quickly so I wouldn't feel guilty about leaving. And I knew obviously that people were going to take our place on the show and I didn't care. I even know the twins had their eye on it and I was like okay with that at the time.
Yeah.
But it wouldn't take long and I forget exactly what about it made me feel this way, but it wouldn't be too long after where I started to feel like betrayed by the process. And I can only attribute that to once the people who took our spots got in our spots, they were like hostile toward us.
Yes.
And like, shitting on us. And it's like, wait, what?
Yeah, because I was all for that, too, because mm-hmm. I, too, felt guilty. And I think that's part of the reason why I was like, well, I'm not stopping the radio show. Mm-hmm. I'm not stopping Girls Next Door. Like, I'm still sticking around. I'm still doing all this. I'm going to work it all out and everything. But then, yeah, the hostility. And I don't know why that would be. You would think they would be super thankful that all this was set up.
Well, I think there's two things going on. I think Hef is always a shit stirrer in ways that we don't even clock.
Yeah.
So that's never easy. So I'm not putting all the blame on the girls.
Yeah.
And I think there's just jealousy. And then I think especially after, you know, the fans clearly did not want a new cast and they're clearly hurt by that reaction because they're seeing it online. So their hostility gets taken out on us.
Yeah.
And
but
then
even before it aired, there was hostility. So...
yeah, it's very strange.
Yeah, so I still feel a little weird about the whole radio show thing and how it all ended. But right at this point, I'm still like just getting started in mm-hmm. it and everything. So things are still fun and exciting. And I know that it didn't come from Tim Frazier, who was my like producer that was back mm-hmm. there doing all the switches and stuff. And I know it didn't come from his boss. Well, if it did come from his boss, who was Farrell. Do you remember Farrell?
Yeah.
Because Farrell like loved me. So if it was coming from him, it was coming from somebody above him who was saying, you know, no more. So it's kind of sad and kind of a bummer, but it is what it is.
It is what it is.
So the next scene, the rooster is crowing and it truly is super early, so early that the sun is not even out. Why? Why would they do this scene like this at this time?
Does Kendra say so in the commentary? Because I feel like I know, but I don't know why I know. I think she had to do it super early because she had like Celebrity Rap Superstar or some other thing she was doing. And like, that's the only time they could film it was super early.
Well, she just says very, like, just vaguely that that's the only time they could do it that met her schedule and the crew schedule and the psychic schedule. But mm-hmm. it just seems like, really? There's
right.
no other time yeah. you could do that than at, like, 4:30 in the morning or whatever time it is? Because it's way early.
Mm-hmm. That's crazy. So Patrice, the pet psychic, shows up. I wonder if she's legit because I would love to know what my dog is thinking.
I don't know. Before she shows up, they show Martini in the living room eating popcorn from what looks like a movie night popcorn bowl. And I know it's not from this morning. It looks like he has a lay around him, like it's all the way from footage from Kendra's birthday.
Right. Because didn't they use that same shot in Kendra's birthday episode and they made it look like it was after the jazz festival?
It's possible. Yeah.
That sounds familiar.
Yeah. So Patrice comes, and I don't know anything about her. I know I did have a pet psychic on that Yahoo Animal Nation mm-hmm. show. It's weird how sometimes that show comes up. I did have a pet psychic come on for that and talk to me about Winnie and what she was feeling. And I've had pet psychics on my podcast, too.
That's fun.
Yeah.
I did ask a psychic once. I don't even think I asked what Louie was thinking. I think it just came up, and she was like, you know, he's just like really tired these days and he's just tired. She told me that a couple of years ago and he really is. I mean, he's so old. He has to have injections now for like his joints. I had to stop walking him a couple of years ago. Like he can't do walks anymore. Poor baby.
Yeah.
But his coat is still fantastic.
So I guess Kendra wants her to come and help figure out what's wrong with Martini, why she stares at the wall. And she said that somebody messed him up by playing with the laser light with him. And now he's sick from it. And it's not funny anymore.
Yeah.
And something's wrong. I think she hallucinates, she says.
And Patrice gives her interpretation of it, which is kind of like just vague stuff that's not really too compelling or helpful. And they do a cute little animation of Martini thinking the pet psychic is a screwball.
Yeah. But I think that this is where it's starting to like...
Because we got sued. When I say yes. we, I don't, me and you weren't named, but the show got sued by this pet psychic, or at least sent something. I don't know if it progressed to a lawsuit, but she felt she was defamed by this whole thing. And I don't know. I assume it just got settled. I don't know how it got resolved, but this was the second almost lawsuit of the show.
Yes.
And I'm not even counting the Whammo cease and desist.
I was just going to say, and then there's the cease and desist from Whammo and Olive Garden.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I do think it's weird that they get a pet psychic for Kendra because it's not something she's into. It's not something I feel like she would believe in to begin with. I expect her to have exactly this type of response to it.
Yeah, I feel like it's really scraping for content. Like, I feel like they're trying to look for plot lines for her. What's going on in your life? Maybe they knew they were going to do an animal episode. So what's going on with your animals? And that was like the only thing she could think of is I need help for Martini.
Yeah.
And then they are like, I know what would be wacky.
Yeah.
A pet psychic.
It's very, it smells very set up by production.
Yeah.
It's very much like the etiquette scene.
Yeah. I do prefer this scene to the etiquette scene.
Yeah. And so she just says, I tell people what the pets want them to know and what the people want their pets to know. I just kind of tap into them and I ask questions and they show me visions and images or feelings and I have to interpret that information. And I have to assume she's been edited to like not give full, don't you think?
Do you think she's uncovering some dirt and not telling us?
I don't know. I just feel like she probably gave her more information than what's shown on here and they just cut it to look like it's nothing that Kendra's interested in.
Yeah, maybe, because it does all seem kind of vague.
Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I wasn't there.
Yeah.
It's super early in the morning. I can't even believe Kendra's up for it. And she tells Kendra that she sees them sitting on the bed together, eating popcorn, and maybe there's a TV involved. She said that Martini feels like she's part of the team and sees them all. She sees that there's more pets there and that they're all like family. And then it shows Kendra going, no, an interview, nope. Not into it. And yeah, it just kind of goes on and on from there. And she keeps talking about the eating popcorn thing. And they show that scene on purpose, which wasn't even the same time. It was years before, to kind of show that she's right. But then Kendra's saying she's not right. And so I don't know.
And then Kendra said she just kept agreeing with her because she didn't want to make her feel bad. And she was just saying, yeah, 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 to get it over with and go back to bed, which I feel like is so relatable. I feel like we've all been in scenarios where, you know, something is kind of like past its point of being useful, but you want to be nice and just get it over with. So you're like, yeah, 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 yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The lady just tells her she needs to be stimulated. She has high energy. Maybe take your dog to agility training classes. Maybe that will help her and she'll love it. And I can see you coaching her, which I can see that too. I can see like Martini doing the agility classes and Kendra like coaching and being into it. And in the end, Kendra says she doesn't think Martini really talked to Patrice. And then she says, I'm the only fucking one that can talk to Martini.
And then do they do like an animation of like an orb or something?
Yeah, while Kendra's doing an interview. Yeah, Kendra says, it would have been nice to have her here, but it was nice having her here, but I could have slept in. One other thing I do want to add about this is that in commentary, we are talking about the new dogs at the mansion. Because again, we're way later, you know, and the new girls are there with their dogs. And I say that Wednesday does not like some of these new dogs at the mansion and there's terrible drama going on. And then you say that the twins' dog is so mean that it tried to kill Ava's dog, Carla.
I forgot about Carla. Okay, so Ava Fabian was a playmate in the 80s. So she was a little bit older at the time we were there, but she was still like hot and working for Playmate Promotions and all the things. And she was around a lot. And she had a cute, was it a Pekingese?
It was a Pekingese.
Cute Pekingese named Carla that would come up sometimes.
And she was a senior citizen dog, like super old, but like so sweet. And she would just like sit on the couch while Ava worked out down in the gym or sit on her lap at dinner. Was the cutest dog ever. And you say that the twins' dog is so mean it tried to kill Carla. And I say, and Kendra and I are talking about how, like, none of the dogs get along now.
Did the twins only have one dog? Why do I have it in my head that they had two Malteses? Do I just think that because at one point they said they wanted to have twin dogs?
Yeah, I don't remember for sure. I just know it was a Maltese, I believe.
Yeah.
And I just know that we said that the twins' dog, we said, so I don't know if just one was, if there was just one or if just one was, like, vicious. But yeah, so there were drama going on even with the pets at this time.
Yes, the hostilities.
And if I remember right, those the new girls that brought dogs in and stuff, there was no control over it either. Like we all had our rooms and like our dogs were relatively well behaved and stuff and relatively got along well. Not when the new girls were coming.
They were just all over the place.
It was just drama and barking and insanity and not getting along and dogs fighting and
yikes.
drama.
Just chaos.
It was chaos. It really was chaos at the mansion at that time.
Yeah. Imagine being that old and you have that much like negative chaos at the end of your life. I mean, I guess you reap what you sow, but Jesus.
Yeah.
Yikes. So we will see you guys next week. If you'd like more content, check out our Patreon at patreon.com/girlsnextlevel. Check out our merch at girlsnextlevel.shop, and we'll see you guys next week.
I was going to bark because that's like the theme of our woof.
Oh, yeah. Well, Hef barked so many times in this footage. Yeah. So arf, arf. We'll see you guys next week. Bye.
Bye, guys.